I'm just going to start by reading this. Y'all may or may not have gotten this email, but I'm just going to start by reading this, and then we're going to go from there. So it says, as we pursue the work that God desires to do in and through FNT Church, each of us play a vital role. You are needed, and that can't be stressed enough. And it's not just because First New Testament Church said it. We're going to see what God says this morning. God has placed gifts in you that He desires to use, and there are many ways for you to serve. Please review this list of ministries and needs and pray about how God wants you to serve. Now, I'd just like to add to that line right there. They say pray about how God wants you to serve. So yes, pray about how He wants you to serve, but no prayer is needed as to whether or not you're supposed to serve. There is no prayer needed for that. And so we are so grateful that God has built such a vibrant and healthy body here at FNT. We love you. And so, and then it goes off to list the immediate needs. And I'm not going to read all the descriptions of these, but you know, it says on this, immediate and then urgent ways to serve. And guys, it is. It's urgent. It's not, they're not putting this out there because they need some people to be able to take a break. It's because there's holes. There's holes in the ministry that are needing to be filled. Children's ministry, tech team, usher team, maintenance and lawn team, security team, cleaning and organizing team. And then the email goes on to list all the other ways you can serve. And it lists all the various ministries. And there's a lot of them. And so if you haven't seen that email, then I will be glad to share it with anybody. You know, let us know. We'll get it to you, whoever it is. And I know, look, I want to make sure that this morning, this is not, you know, as we used to say in Chi Alpha, sometimes when our campus pastor would really bring something hard, you know, we used to say he was bringing the hammer. And this is not to bring the hammer this morning. I hope as we talk through this, I hope that what it does is it energizes us, that it stirs within us, the Holy Spirit stirs within us a passion to serve, a passion to fill these needs. And to continue to stir one another. And I know we've talked about this in a couple of different ways at a couple of different times. You know, we've talked about the knitting together of the body with the way God places us in just the right place in the body to accomplish His work, to cause that growth within us. And so we talked about that and you know, Colossians 1:29, where He says He provides the energy. You know, we've talked through some of those things. But I just had another burden for this, you know, because I continued, you know, Pastor Lee mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Then the email comes out and it's the heart of God. It's not just that we need to have a functioning business here. It's the heart of God. And so I want us to walk, and we're going to spend a lot of time going through scriptures this morning. What I would suggest is you may not be able to turn to all these because I've already got them written down here. So I'm going to be able to move through them. What I would suggest is just write down the verses. And then you can go back and look at them. So the first thing I want to look at is the exhortations and the promises of God as it relates to serving and what He says. And so Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, it says, "For God is not unjust." And I love how he says that. "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And so just a few key things that come out of there. God is not unjust. He's going to see what has been done, and He's going to reward it. And he says the work and the love, but then I love how he contrasts. He wants this same earnestness. So there's this earnestness in the way that we do this, that we have this deep desire to accomplish this, and that's contrasted against being sluggish. That, well, I just can't. I don't want to. I you know, I'm tired. God, look, guys, if the people in this church, if the people that serve in this church didn't serve because they were tired, this place would be, the lights would be off and nobody would be here this morning. I mean, that's how it is. And that's why I believe God, and we're going to see it in here, We're going to see it in some of these verses, but I love Colossians 1:29. That's why Paul says, I have worked myself to the point of exhaustion. I do it. I do it willingly because he provides energy. He gives me his energy, is what he says, his energy, and he so mightily provides it to me. And so Proverbs 11:25, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Well, gosh, I'm weak. I'm weary and I'm dry. Well, if that's where you are and that's why you can't serve, then the answer here is be a blessing. Water somebody else. Because if you bless someone else, oh, you're going to be enriched. You're going to be built up. You're going to be strengthened. If you water somebody else, if you come into this body and you begin to water, it's a promise. You will be watered. You will be watered. And guys, put him to the test on that. This is one where God would say, put me to the test. See if what I say is not true. You say you don't have the energy to do it. You say that you can't, I just don't have time to do it. Just come and do it. You're dry. You got nothing to give. I'm just dry. I'm a dry, weary place. I got nothing. No, you come, I'll water you. You water these, I'll water you. That's how it's supposed to work anyhow, right? It's always him. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good. What a response to our weariness, right? For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the heart of God. This is his desire. That you want to be near to the heart of God, do what he says. Mark chapter 10. Verse 42 through 45. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. That's a powerful word. To be slave of all. I'm no longer my own. I don't make my own choices. I'm not serving myself anymore. I don't do it for me anymore. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to the body of Christ here at FNT. And I know all here expands outside of that. But I'm a slave to this body. Tell me, what is it you need? Let me serve it. Let me fill it. How can I do that? For even, and I love how he says this. For even, Jesus says this, for even, because I didn't have to. I didn't have to. I don't have to right now. I don't have to in the future. I have it all. I could subjugate every one of you and tell you to go do it. You do this, you do that. For even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it makes me think of what Paul said when Paul says, I'm poured out like a drink offering, you know? And the context is a little different there, but he's saying the same thing in the end. And I'm glad. I'm glad to be poured out. I'm glad to have nothing left. I'm here. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to you guys. Whatever it is in my life that can be given, I want to give it. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7 through 11. We've heard this verse many times here in the last few months as we, in some different contexts. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, and look, we've all agreed, right? And I don't care how far you think we are, but I think we're all agreed that the end of all things is at hand. We're there. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's what we've been talking about before, but let's remember this part of it as well. So, because the end of all things is at hand, therefore, as each has received a gift, and you have. That's not, when he says, as each has received a gift, it's not, I haven't received my gift yet. No, you have. Everyone has received. I'm not saying if you've received a gift. As everyone has received a gift, you have received it. And if you don't know what it is, just ask the Lord. And look, and if you don't know what it is, just begin to serve. He'll show it to you. You'll figure it out. You'll get into it and you'll go, ooh, I'm not so good at this children's church thing. You know, maybe this is not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe I am great at cleaning toilets. Oh, that's what I'm going to go do. You know, so whatever it is. I mean, and maybe you're OCD and that's where you need to be. So, but as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God, as good stewards of God's varied grace. So you have been given the grace of God. And so when you're given the, and every one of us has, and because you've been given the grace of God, the way that you become a good steward of that grace is by taking the gift by His grace and beginning to serve one another. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. And there's the key again. It is God's strength. And look, I'm just going to say this. I'm not saying this pridefully. I'm going to say it because it's something that God worked within Robin and I. And I'm going to mention others that, I mean, we could go on forever. But honestly, if the reason we don't serve, if the reason we don't give ourselves into this body and all of these needs that the church has given, that listed out, if the reason we don't serve is because, well, I got kids at home and it's just hard. It's hard getting up Sunday morning. And I mean, I can't get the kids together. You can get your kids together. They're your kids. Get them together. You need to wake up an hour earlier, get up an hour earlier. And I'm not being harsh, but I'm saying we've done it. We've been there. We've experienced it. I've got people sitting in front of me right here, right now, and this is not a hack against the people on Zoom. Don't take it that way. But there's people sitting in front of me right now that have kids, young kids, and they do it. And so whether it's kids or whether it's I'm so busy. I work for ExxonMobil from the first time we got down here and put in long hours every day, and it wasn't long when we got here, and Robin and I, we were asked to start leading the college group, and we poured ourselves into it. We had the girls meeting every week. We had a guys meeting every week. We had a combined meeting every week. We were here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Any other times the doors were open, we had special activity. I mean, we were going, Robin and I, we used to laugh about it because we were going nonstop. I mean, it never ended. And we were 40 minutes away. We lived in Zachary. And so it took us 40 minutes one way. And so, we were getting exhausted. And so we got clever. And we said, we asked Miss Darlene, can we stay at your house between services on Sunday? Because we can't make that drive all the time. It's killing us, you know? And so we started sleeping at Miss Darlene's. And boy, that just built up the fellowship all the more. And we started learning a ton from Miss Darlene. I mean, she started just pouring into our lives. And even though she declared, I'm not talking to you on Sunday afternoons. I'm going to take a nap. And so she did. She would just go, boom, crash. But she said, y'all can do whatever y'all want in the house. And so if those things are there, then I'm just challenging you that it's your flesh that is ruling. It's your flesh that is declaring those things. And it's real. The tiredness, the weariness, it's real. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying you get up and you go, God, I feel so fresh and renewed this morning. I can't wait. And no, there's so many times you get up and you say, I got nothing. And I don't want to go get the kids up. And I don't want to do these things. And it's terrible. The kids don't have any clothes. I mean, there's always things where I've worked so long this week and it's His energy. It's His strength. That's what He says here. It's God's strength. And guys, it's not just Robin and I. And look, you may say, my wife, she's sick. I'm taking care of my wife all the time. I'm taking care of my husband all the time. I'm not saying this pridefully, but I've been there and done that. And I don't have it in me. I get wore slap out. But I know that when I'm here and when I'm serving, I have more life and I have more hope for my wife and for all the things that burden me and all the things than I ever do. And so there's all kinds of reasons. And I'm not saying that there are not reasons in people's lives that will just prevent them from doing. I'm not saying that at all. And again, I'm not trying to put a false or law-driven burden on you. I'm trying to stir you up that there is something there available to us. that is promised in the Word of God that overcomes anything and everything we can imagine. I know there's a day coming here real soon where God's probably going to reveal to me there's something else. There's another level, and you haven't gotten there yet, son, but I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to help you. And yes, you got to talk things through with your wife. You got to talk things through with your husband. You got to figure it out. I don't just ditch Robin at home. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about how are we going to do this? You know, I want to be here with you. If I need to be here with you, I will. You know, we've had conversation after conversation. Same thing with the kids, right? We don't just dump our kids somewhere and then, I mean, you work through it. But God will give you wisdom. God will give you grace. That's what he's promising in here. And we could point to so many in this church. And whether they're young or old, and I listed a bunch of names here, but I'm not going to go through them. But you just stop and look around and you go, dang, man, there's some people around here that they got a heavy load. And yet, and look, we could, you don't have to look any further. If you've gotten a small glimpse into the life of Lee and Carla, even though they got older kids, oh my Lord, you know, the life of a pastor and his wife, and yet God supplies, and there's no end. Actually, I clipped off the end of this verse that I should have gotten there. He says, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to see this again at the end of one of the reasons that we do this. But remember what he says there, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's going to come back to us. Acts chapter 20. And look, y'all jump in anytime and share. Acts chapter 20. And I'll say this one more thing on that is, look, I was not saying that to be condemning. Because again, Robin and I learned a lot of things the hard way. And we messed it up sometimes. And we wore ourselves out unnecessarily sometimes. And it's not about doing things. We still listen to the Lord. There's still times where I say, you know what? I am going to stay home with my wife because I need to tonight. I just feel the leading of the Lord. I don't ever want it to be because I say I'm just exhausted, which there's temptations at times. But there's going to be those times. But what I will say is, if you're in that place and you're struggling with, is this just me? Is this just my flesh? Or is this really something I need to do? Then one, talk with your family and make sure that you are in agreement. And then two, you know, I'll be glad to anybody talk with somebody else. Let them know where you are. And you can pray together and y'all can counsel together. And because it's hard sometimes to try and discern those things. Acts chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord. And I'm skipping down. So serving the Lord and then skipping down to verse 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than receive. And so again, the Lord's just filling us up with these words. Let's do this. Let's give this. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. It absolutely is. Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Man, oh man, if we could grab hold of that every time we walk into this church, or every time we're thinking about coming to church, or every time we don't want to come to church, or whatever other ministry it is God's leading us to, and just remember, this is unto him. And Jesus one day, he is going to tell us, thank you. You did that to me. And that's going to be an awesome thing. And it's not just going to be the crowns we get to throw at his feet. But can you imagine the Lord of all creation, our Savior, the one who had to dig us out of the sin we were in and set us free, that he's going to look at us. He's going to say, well done. Thank you. Thank you for doing this to all of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for giving to them. Thank you for teaching those 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds on Sunday mornings when you wanted to be with your wife and kids in the service. Thank you for sitting up in the sound booth and helping to distribute my word to everyone and to help people come into worship and to enter into worship. thank you for cutting the grass at the church and doing those things so that they could take the money and they could put it in other places and give into other needs. And thank you for going and working on that lady's house and fixing that for her, because that's how I wanted to do it. That's what I wanted. That's what he's going to tell us. And we've got all of eternity. He's not going to get worn out. He's not going to say, okay, well, I'm done for today. No, it's just, I don't know how it's going to go, but I think sometimes, how's he going to say thanks to? It's going to be awesome. 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods, and we all have the world's goods, all right? Every one of us in here has the world's goods. We're all well-to-do as it relates to this verse. But also think how much more of the goods of God, right? So those goods that he pours within us spiritually. And sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So if you're sitting at home today or any other time when you're listening to this later maybe, and you think, and you just, you're always saying, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, then just do it. So let that passion, that desire in your heart, let it command your feet to go and get up and do it. So not just in word and in talk, but in deed and in truth. If you can talk about it, and you can read about it and feel moved by it, and then all it takes is just grabbing hold of the grace of God and moving that into an actual deed and living it out in truth. So, all right. So those are just some of the exhortations and the promises of God in there. And I love the promise. Don't forget the promises in there. And those promises are not just for eternity. They're not just for the crown you're going to store up there. When he says you will be watered, when he says you will be enriched, when he says it's more blessed to give than to receive, those things are now. You want to experience in your life? You want to be enriched? You want to be watered? You want to be full? You want to be free? You want to have fullness of joy? Then enter into the promises of God. Do what he says. But the other aspect of this, and it ties in wonderfully with what God has been pouring out to us in these last few months, is the preaching of the gospel and the winning of the lost. And so we're going to start with a passage we go through all the time. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, and then Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. But it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They were continually devoting. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place with the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were, and I skipped to chapter 4, verse 34. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring their proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as they had need. Do you think when we read Acts chapter 2, and I do, right? And when I started thinking of this in context of this need today and these needs of the church, when I read Acts chapter 2, I think that's incredible. And subconsciously, it just seems like it happens, right? Boom, it's just this explosion and everybody's just, guys, if you think that 3,000 people can be added, because it said there were 3,000 people that first day, and it says, and the Lord added their number day by day, those were being saved. If you think that that happens, and all of these things that were taking place, the breaking of bread, is just because people are like, because it was like 10 guys, the 120 walked out of the upper room and said, don't worry, we got it. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. People were filling needs. They were plugging themselves in. They were taking, and even when they talk about in Acts chapter 4, how they would sell things and they'd bring the proceeds and the sales and they'd give them to the apostles' feet. There's no way the apostles were just sitting there going, we got it. You know, okay, we'll take. There were so many things that had to be done. There were massive needs in the first church, massive needs. And like they never even had a church before, right? And so you can just imagine how they were. But for this explosion to take place, there had to be people filling needs. Had to be. And honestly, guys, you know, God has spoken that word of growth to us. And he's renewing it now, and he's telling us the way by which we will do it. You know, and as far as preaching the gospel and reaching the lost. But if we can't fill the needs that we have right now, what are we going to do if God gives us 3,000 in a day? What are we going to do if he's adding to us day by day? If that's what we really want, and if your heart's desire is we really want this, God, we are grasping this. If everybody that showed up at Equipped, if all of us that showed up at Equipped could also grasp that I got to serve, then we've got something. Then if every one of those people showed up and said, I'm going to fill a need in this church, now God has no reservation, no reason to say, I can't start today. What am I going to do? You know, we want to go reach the international students. We want to reach people. What are we going to do if 100 of them show up? How are we going to, I mean, what if they show up and they bring all their kids? What, I mean, and it's not for us to figure out. It's for us to do. Just do it. But it just began to dawn on me that these are not just needs to make our church function today. These are needs that if we are going to grow, if this explosion, this gospel is going to go forth and is going to reach people, and we can't wait. We can't wait until they show up and then go, oh, okay, well, now, no, it's now. Now's the time. And then in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and I'm going to skip down to verse 7 after verse 1. It says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. The word of God, and in verse 7, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And so I skipped over the part there. So this church is exploding. It's blowing up everywhere it goes. And now there's a group that says, whoa, we got a problem because our widows over here in this part, they're not getting served. They're falling through the cracks. Just like our church here has said, guys, we got holes. We got cracks. We got needs. Now, in this case, they chose. They went and chose these men to help cover this hole. And it doesn't always have to work that way. It doesn't have to work that way. It should be, and I hope it would be, just as Lee has pleaded with us, that one, we would see the needs that have been presented, and then two, if you see a need, then just go ahead and fill it. All right, Lord, I got this. But then I love what happens here. They don't just feed the... This is not just connected. They don't say, and the widows were satisfied, and all was good again. No, it says that through this ministry, through this need being filled, and yes, it resulted in Stephen. You know, there's this moment where Stephen preaches and stuff, but it says it's even before that, right? So verse 7 is before Stephen actually goes and preaches. But as this need is filled, and as these men begin to work and fill this need, the word of God kept on spreading. That's what we're wanting right now. We're wanting the word of God to spread. We're wanting the gospel to go forth and go out. Somehow, filling this need was connected to the word of God continuing to spread. Now, I know it's because it freed up the apostles. It freed up people to do what they need to do. And then the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests, so the ones that hated them the most, the Pauls, the previous Pauls, those guys were becoming obedient to the faith. And it wasn't because, it doesn't say because the, it doesn't say, and again, just in this context, don't get wrong, but it doesn't say because, you know, it's all connected back to this need. This need was being filled, and therefore these things began to happen or continued to happen. And so we see the need right now. It's been shown to us. And there's all kinds of reasons. There's always going to be a reason in our lives why we can't feel the need. It's never going to change. It's just going to change from one reason to another. That's all that happens, right? Now that I'm almost 47, I'm just wore out at times, and I don't want to do it. I can't do it anymore. I got body aches sometimes. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this. So it just moves. It just changes, and that's all. That's all that happens. But the heart of God never changes, and His promises never change. His promise to give us His energy, His promise to give us His life, it never changes. And His promise of His reward and His blessing and His watering and His enriching, it never changes. That's all the same. And your kids get older and your job gets harder, maybe, I don't know. But your kid problems just change from little kid problems to big kid problems, you know. It was all the same. And so all these things, they move, they shift, you know. Yeah, the sicknesses in your life, they get worse, and that's part of this sin-ridden body. But His promises don't change. And then if God is really calling us right now, if He's really calling us to reach the lost, and I'm not saying, don't take it wrong this morning, I'm not saying God is withholding this outpouring of His Spirit because we're not filling these needs. I'm just telling you in a very practical and real way that if we aren't filling these needs right now, then if that increase does come, which we're so earnestly asking for, what are we going to do with it? How will we fulfill what God ultimately needs? Yet, we're doing the work, you know, of the church out there, but then if we're not feeling the need, we're not going to be able to feed them. We're going to have the widow problem. They may not be called widows. They may be called international students. They may be called children. They may be called homeless people. They may be called ladies that have come from the abortion clinic. They may be called all kinds of other names. But we're going to go, what do? We can't. So let's not get there. Let's proclaim to God by our service to the body of Christ that we are ready in every way. We're ready in every way. We're desirous, not just by the words that we say, but we're desirous because we're showing it right now. We're serving every aspect of this body. And God, we are overwhelmed with goodness and servanthood here in First New Testament Church. And it's ready and waiting to be filled. So send us the harvest. Fill it up. Give it in. Because right now, the barn's in trouble. We don't have enough barns to store all the harvest. I'm just being honest, right? I mean, that's what the email tells me in one aspect, is we just don't have the barns to hold the harvest. That's in our power. Let's do it. Let's fill and stir one another up. Find somebody that's sitting on the sidelines and say, come on, find something, plug yourself in, help them get there. So, please.
This group of people over there, but like serving, like even cleaning up in the kitchen, sometimes like this, you'll start to even form relationships with people and conversations from serving, being able to interact with this other group of people that you just never get to speak, because there's only so much time before a service and right after a service, and you know what I mean?
Amen.
It just really provides another opportunity to really get connected.
Amen.
To the body.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you struggle with some of those things, ask somebody, how do you do it? How'd you do? You got examples all around you. Ask them, how'd you do it? Or how are you doing it? What? And there's practical, sometimes it's very practical things, and sometimes, oh man, I'm holding on to the grace of God. You know, I mean, it really is His energy that's doing it for me because there's nothing. But talk to them, ask them. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this word. God, I want you to stir me up, Lord. Because God, if I say I've arrived, then inevitably there's something else. There's something else. I know I haven't worked myself to the point of exhaustion, Lord. I know I haven't gotten there. And God, I don't want anybody just doing things. None of us just want to do things. Oh, but God, we do want to serve the body of Christ. We want to be servants to one another. We want to fulfill these words. We want to fill these things that you have called us to this morning, these promises you've called us to. We want to be imparted to our lives. I want everyone to experience it. And God, I want the harvest to come in. We want the harvest to come in this last moment, in this last hour, just as it said in 1 Peter, and he tied it in at the end. He said, we're going to do this. We're going to serve one another. And it's also that the glory of God through Jesus Christ might be revealed, might be magnified. So Lord, do it in us. Stir us. Move us, God. Get us off the sidelines. And get us plugged in, God. Plug in the holes. Fill in the needs. Get in the barns ready. And then let the harvest be poured out, and let the water come, let the enriching come, let the blessings come, until we just walk into heaven and you say, thank you. Thank you for doing that for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, God. We love you. Go with us now as we go into this service, and let us prove it now, God. Let us serve one another. In Jesus' name.